Derby Safeguarding Children Board have produced this podcast to give an introduction to modern slavery. Pop Gill, the Prevent and Cohesion Manager for Derby City Council, will talk us through some of the main elements of the Act.
The Modern Slavery Act differs from previous legislation, I think primarily in three ways. Firstly, the focus and emphasis is now on the exploitation or intended exploitation that's going to take place. Whether that be financial exploitation, removal of organs, forced criminality, domestic slavery, as examples. The second is in terms of the individual and their rights. Under the Modern Slavery Act, a potential victim who's found in a criminal situation, such as a cannabis grower, will now be afforded the benefit of the doubt and treated firstly as a victim rather than a criminal. There may be charged as a criminal at a later date, but initially at least they will be treated as a victim. The third change is in relation to sentencing guidelines. Through the Modern Slavery Act, this crime carries a potential life sentence. In reality, there's probably two drivers. One, the financial gain, and secondly, how easy it is to commit. Back in 2013-14, the estimates in terms of national trade value was $150 billion, which is a huge amount to get your head around in terms of profit. But the context really is in the terms of the three most profitable crimes in the world today, which is the drugs trade, slavery, and the guns and arms trade. So drugs trade is still there as the most profitable at the moment, but carries a big risk with it in terms of importing or growing and producing the drugs. A constant supply, that potential of risk of being caught anywhere along the chain of selling it on a street corner through to the growing. The difference with slavery is it is in some ways very easy to commit. People are seen as commodities, but it's easy to move people about. Whether that's from one property to another or from another country to the UK. The other thing here is that with the drugs trade, you have to have that constant supply. With an individual, that supply is there with you all along. So if we take an example of a little girl who was discovered in a property as a domestic slave, she'd been beaten, she'd been starved by the family, but her parents had sent her over to the UK for a better life. Now, getting that child over to the UK is relatively easy. There's freedom of movement within the European Union. That child would have passed through border control. If there had been any challenge on why she was moving to the UK, the response would have been, I'm going for a better education. More than likely, there would have been a language barrier and the question would not have been understood, and that's accepted. So the child would be allowed through on the ID that she has. Once she arrives here in the UK, the criminal side of the operation then kicks in. She would be sold into slavery as a domestic slave. There is profit made instantly from that transaction. But if I wanted to maximise my profits with that little girl, I would also be then looking at other opportunities. So, for example, sexual exploitation on a regular basis, which again would drive an income into my pocket. As the child gets older, is able to work, I would be looking at opportunities to work in factories, farms, wherever, you know, whatever the situation may be. But always that doubling up, I would say, working in the factory during the day and in the evening, I would be putting that girl to work in a brothel. When she goes, when she's too old for that type of work, either of those, I would also have that potential to either sell her on again as a nanny or a domestic servant. The opportunities are just constantly there, and that's one of the biggest drivers in terms of the profits.
There's quite a few myths and misconceptions around, one, what modern slavery is, and two, whether it actually happens here in the UK. I think what's telling is if we look at the figures for January to December 2017, there were 5,145 cases formally identified as potential modern slavery victims. Of that, 2,118 were children, so under the age of 18. So we can definitely say categorically that it happens here in the UK. Some of the examples of those cases over the years have ranged from victims being identified on the traveller site. At one point, there were 24 slaves identified living in dog kennels, sheds, and horse boxes. all UK nationals. There's been other cases where people have been rescued from working in car washers, bars, brothels and factories as part of organised crime groups. Even here in Derby, last year in 2017, we had 10 people rescued and 11 people arrested for forced labour and debt bondage. The second misconception is around the types and what is modern slavery. Many people have a perception that this is about sexual exploitation, but certainly over the last 2 to 3 years, labour exploitation, domestic servitude, and even organ harvesting have collectively overtaken sexual exploitation as the number one crime. That not only applies to adults, but that is the case for children as well. I think a third misconception and myth is that if somebody has a better, or perceives that they have a better life now than they did previously, they are not a victim of modern slavery. Unfortunately, people are willing to tolerate situations and certainly believe that they may be short-term and a stepping stone to a better life in the future. They may also compare their current situation as better. They may see it as better. But that still doesn't mean that whilst they're being deceived or coerced in some way and being abused, that they are not a victim. The nationalities of victims identified in the UK have cut across 116 different countries to a greater or lesser extent. That certainly was the case for 2017. In terms of top 10 that we can identify from the figures, if we look at adults, Albanians are very much at the top, followed by Vietnam, China, Nigeria, Romania. UK nationals are also in the top 10, India, Poland, Pakistan and Sudan. So quite a sweep of countries. For children, it's slightly different and follows a slightly different pattern. But again, running in number order, UK nationals are number one in terms of victims. Vietnam features again, Albania, Sudan, Eritrea, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Ethiopia, Romania as the top 10. I don't think we can say that there is one characteristic or defining characteristic of people, but there's a multitude of reasons. But generally speaking, those victims that we encounter and have spoken to have vulnerabilities. That's always usually number one. There is some form of vulnerability, homelessness, an addiction to substance addictions, learning difficulties, mental health issues certainly feature quite often. Issues around lack of family support, friend circles, so that isolation, the same that we see amongst other safeguarding concerns, especially around child sexual exploitation. This can be an organised crime, so certainly in terms of the larger numbers that are discovered, there is an organised nature to it, but it's also cultural practice, and people may be coming from a country where this is the norm. They expect to be working or treated in a particular manner as a domestic slave, a domestic servant. Forced marriage can be a category of modern slavery. It is an element of bondage. It is forcing somebody to be servile. There is that element of domestic servitude, forced labour, the whole gamut that would go with it. Ultimately, it's part of the modern slavery characteristics, which is where one person is exploiting another for either personal or financial gain. Usually in the situations of forced marriage, it's for both of those elements. There's no single list that we can provide in terms of indicators, but there are some key, I suppose, giveaways that people can look out for. Certainly in the context of foreign nationals, do they have their legal documents? Do they have their identification, or is somebody else holding that? Is that person fearful of engaging with you? Yeah, is there a reason why they don't want to engage? Some will be withdrawn, but there may be this fear of authorities that's been instilled within them. Also, is somebody else controlling that person? Are they intimidating that person into certain responses? Are they responding on that person's behalf? Are they not allowing that person to respond? If an individual is visiting a property, again, there are certain things that may be giveaways or telltales. Certainly overcrowding, that one could be a potential case of modern slavery, the number of people in a room. The standard of the property would also be a potential indicator that it's poorly maintained, usually if it's got single adults in. That could be a giveaway. Locks on bedroom doors where you would expect them, and they're not there, or they're on the outside of the bedroom. Who's actually controlling the entry and the exit? Other indicators would be unusually large or small utility bills. It doesn't fit with the size of the household, and waste doesn't fit with the occupancy that you would expect. There are indicators around children that could be picked up on. Again, there's no set list, but some to look out for would be individuals making multiple visa applications for different children, and similarly acting as a guarantor for multiple visa applications. Being seen in the company of or travelling with different children to whom they're not related, you know, what is the situation there? And again, a bit like with the adults, in terms of controlling, insisting and remaining with it or speaking for the child and not letting the child have a voice. One to particularly be aware of is where an individual's living with unrelated or newly arrived children, and certainly in a situation that may be leading to or intended to be private fostering arrangements, such as the Victoria Columbia case. Schools and nurseries are possibly in a very good position to identify cases of modern slavery or even perpetrators. First and foremost, in terms of identifying who has parental responsibility, so seeing those legal documents, why that individual is presenting with a child, and being able to give consent for emergency contacts, medicals, etc. And similar to what was said earlier, that if one person is doing that for multiple children, there is certainly an alarm bell to be raised. In the case of private fostering, the ability to review to determine if that person that is being referred to as an auntie is actually an auntie rather than a term of endearment, as is used certainly in the African and the Asian subcontinent. There's other things that could be looked out for, not necessarily in terms of the children themselves, but if, for example, a nanny is bringing that child to the playgroup or to the school, what is the situation with that individual? Because again, we recognise that is a potential one of the areas where somebody could be exploited into debt bondage. So it's understanding the dynamics of the family and who is presenting, who's bringing the children, what are the circumstances, do they fit? Just being naturally curious, and especially in the world of young people, you know, think safeguarding. There's a range of reasons why the slavers get away with this. People don't escape the situations that they're in. The ones that we perceive most often fall around the removal of identity documents. So where is a person going to turn to? Who do they trust, especially if they may be in the country illegally? By far the greatest one is probably violence and threats, not only against the individual, but the individual's close family and friends. They're not going to hurt their own commodity, so they will hurt somebody that will keep them under control. Some we have come across have been imprisoned in terms of being kept in a loft or a secure room and only let out to work. And certainly in the case of working in cannabis farms, that very much is an imprisoned environment. The other factor that we see is contributing to people not escaping is debt bondage. This is where people are encouraged to move to another area or take up a job or move from one country to another country. They can't afford that movement, they can't afford the travel, they can't afford the rent, and the slaver will say, I will pay. You pay me back on a weekly basis from the other wages when you start work. And it's a bit like doorstep lending. That loan, that debt will continue with increased rates of interest charges. So that person is bonded for a very, very long period of time. A kind of final reason is where people are unaware of what assistance or what their actual rights are if they should escape. You know, not only who to turn to, but what support would be afforded to them. The language that we use of modern slavery, trafficking, is not the language that these individuals use. There are a number of ways. Primarily it's the payment for travel, the payment for the initial rent on a property, the payment of a job finder fee. Illegal in this country, but not illegal in some European countries. So a person's actually encouraged to say, don't worry about that, those payments, don't worry about it. I will sort all of that out and you can just pay me on a weekly basis, knowing that there's going to be interest added to it. But it can be also more subtle than that. in the sense that I will increase that debt as much as I can to, again, maximise my profits. So I won't put somebody into work straight away. I will let them sit for 3 to 4 weeks and manage them into even more debt, because then I'm feeding them and I'm paying their rent for a longer period of time. And I've actually had to go drive them around town trying to find a job. All fictitious, but I'm just increasing the debt all along. But debt bondage, that element of debt, that element of owing a payment or repayment to somebody, could be seen, as certainly from the victim's perspective, as legitimate. I do owe this person. He has paid my transport. He has paid my rent. He has found me a job. Okay, that's all legitimate, but actually the deception, the coercion, the exploitation, put all of that in the background, it wipes it out. Where slavery is suspected by an individual, first and foremost, they should continue to provide the service that person is accessing, whether that be medical care, school registration, nursery, whatever it may be, provide that service. So meet the needs as being presented. Secondly, do not raise your concerns with the individual, certainly if there are other individuals accompanying in a controlling environment. You don't know the role that other person plays in the situation. React in a sensitive way. Ensure that the person knows that they're in a safe environment. Follow the interpreter guidance. And certainly if it's a child, ensure that that child has access to an interpreter. Ultimately, where you have a suspicion, you have a concern around an individual, think safeguarding, follow your safeguarding procedures. If an individual is identified, first and foremost, if they're in immediate danger or need medical attention, we always advise contact 999 and follow the emergency route. If it's a non-emergency and it's a social care referral that's needed, it would be to the first contact team, their number being 01332 641172. Out of hours, it would be the care line, and again that's 01332 786 968. First contacts would then pick up that referral and follow the referral process. Where the information may not be about a particular individual, or the individual is not presenting as a potential victim, but you have intelligence or information that could support an investigation or even raise an investigation for the first time, you need to contact the police non-emergency number 101 and ask for Operation Wilberforce. Operation Wilberforce being the police tactical team that deal with all modern slavery intelligence inquiries. There are two statutory requirements where it comes to children in terms of modern slavery. First and foremost is a reiteration of the Children's Act, which places a duty on local authorities and partners to cooperate in promoting the well-being of children and young people. Also within that, I think the emphasis there is that a referral under modern slavery doesn't supersede or replace established child protection procedures and processes. They must always be followed. All children, irrespective of their immigration status, are entitled to safeguarding and protection under law. And where there is a reason to believe a person is a child, is to give them the benefit of the doubt and treat them as a child until an assessment is carried out. The second statutory requirement comes through Section 52 of the Modern Slavery Act. Section 52 places a duty on specified authorities to notify the Home Office of suspected and known cases of modern slavery. Those specified authorities include police and local authority staff. When the referral is made to first contact, first contact team will pick up that statutory notification. As with children, if it's an emergency, the individual should contact 999 and follow the emergency route. Again, with intelligence, that can go through to Operation Wilberforce on the police 101 number. In terms of the adult referral, where an individual is of concern, that would go through to the Safeguarding Adults Team, multi-agency safeguarding hub, telephone number being 01332 642 855, and out of hours 01332 786 968.
In both instances, all referrals should be followed up with an electronic referral form.